Good morning.
Yeah, I'm watching.
We thank the Lord for the blessings of life.
For
the opportunity He's granted us to assemble, to share fellowship with one another, and to share fellowship with Him in worship. From the beginning of last month, our sermons have focused on one another relationship. And the theme has been one another. And we have considered different topics on one another. And this morning, we are looking at the topic, do not judge one another. Do not judge one another. That is our topic for today. And I want to read to your hearing Matthew chapter 7 from verse 1 through 12. That is the whole context. Do not judge one another, and you will not be judged. Verse 2. For you will be treated as you treat others. The standard you use in judging is the same standard by which you will be judged.
Verse
3. And why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? How can you think of saying to your friend, let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye when you can't see past the log in your own eye?
Verse 5.
Hypocrites, first get rid of the log in your own eye, then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye.
Verse
6 says, don't waste what is holy on people who are unholy. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. They will trample the pearls. Turn and attack you.
Now, okase eye monfa de eye konkon ema nkanman. Anase monto mo ho entwene eye mpreko anim awanfa won anim entiaso na wansane ambesansan mo.
Keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and you and the door will be open to
you.
For everyone who asks, receives. Everyone who seeks, finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. You parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask Him?
Now,
listen to the end of that contest. Verse 12. Do not do to others whatever you would like them to do to you. This is the essence of all that is taught in the law and the prophets.
Nti ade biara ho pese nipa ye mama uno. Musu monya sara na ye ni mra no e wo di fo no emu.
Pray with me, please.
My one pai.
Almighty God, you know all my sins.
They are
all bare before you.
I pray that
the blood of Christ will cleanse my heart and my mind.
And I pray it
will cleanse the heart and the minds of my brothers and sisters and all who are hearing us, hearing your word this day. Glorify yourself, O Lord, as we look into the holy pages of your word. That your will be done through us. Amen.
Amen.
We live in a society that says no one has the right to say anyone else is wrong. All around us, in our homes, in our offices, in marketplaces, on the street, in our communities, all around us, people in society tell us that we should not judge. And so, for example, when you teach biblical truth and you attempt to correct those who are in religious error, the pushback is that, shut up, you are not perfect, do not judge.
Leave us
alone. When you speak biblical truth and you correct those who are in sexual sins and sexual immorality such as LGBTQI++, the pushback you have is people saying, it is not for you to judge. It is their choice. Leave them alone.
And see, one of my man and mother, my man and my mother, how much a German mono, so what can I say?
When you speak based upon scriptures and you try to correct those who are involved in unethical conduct, conduct such as dishonesty, conduct such as lies, gossip, hypocrisy, and the like, there is also a pushback. Sometimes even from the church, from within the church, you hear people say, oh, you are very judgmental, thou shalt not judge. No one is perfect. I'm sure this past week there was something on the airwaves, very shocking, of a so-called woman prophetess who has her own church at Kasua. And I'm sure you, most of you probably heard the story where she was breastfeeding the male members of her so-called church. She was
breastfeeding. Now, the Emma Memma and say one num, I don't know, Benya, and what the human or new womb.
There was a discussion on a particular radio. I was driving and I tuned in, and they were making fun of it. And then one person said to the other, but if she will breastfeed the male members of a church, is that your business? It's her own thing, the thing belongs to her. So leave her alone. After all, she has not stolen your thing.
And then we become a mitzvah and say, "Ah, now so no one can say you obey enough." Ama, remember, Omo, Anuma.
That shall not judge.
Memu what thing?
That is what society is telling us.
Sana yememu funya ekan.
And they misquote a statement Jesus made in Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 in particular, which we just read. Jesus said, "Judge not, so that you will not be judged." My brothers and sisters, I have a question for us this morning. Question for every one of you sitting down here this morning. What exactly does Jesus mean when he says, "Thou shalt not judge," or "do not judge one another"? What exactly does he mean?
Yes, because
does Jesus mean we should not correct what is wrong or immoral? Is that what he's saying? Is Jesus saying that we shouldn't make moral discernment in issues and matters? The statement "thou shalt not judge" in Matthew chapter 7 verse 1, is it a blanket statement that Jesus makes? To suggest that we should tolerate every kind of behavior or belief? If Jesus makes "thou shalt not judge" as a blanket statement, brothers, I dare say that Jesus then is very inconsistent and is self-contradictory. But he is not inconsistent. Neither can he ever be self-contradictory. You know why? Because throughout the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and in particular in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, where we are basing our message from today, we see Jesus repeatedly judging people. For example, in Matthew chapter 6, beginning
Matthew,
from verse 2 through 8.
Matthew,
and I think it's important we take a quick look. He tells us, Matthew chapter 6, beginning from verse 2, "When you give to the needy, do not trumpet. When you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others." Jesus is calling some people hypocrites because what they are doing is wrong.
Yes, I catch a business. Omu enya chumfo visa di omu enye.
Then he continues, "Truly I say to you, they have received their reward." Verse 3. "But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you."
Now there's how we are doing. I'm not being cumbered with the uniform. Now do you akakukwam? Now waja uhunu kukwam no ubeti akawam.
Look at verse 5. Jesus speaking here, "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites." And Jesus continues to explain why he is calling some people hypocrites. And you can go on and on. He talks about fasting, and he calls some people hypocrites because the way and manner they are going about their giving and their prayers and their fasting are contradictory.
Now,
in relation to the word and the will of God. In relation to the will and the word of God, they are hypocrites.
Now, the tutu onyankopon asemwa na je se omo ye nyachomfo.
So we need to understand, brothers and sisters, that the statement Jesus makes in Matthew 7:1, "Thou shalt not judge," is not a blanket statement.
And
it is wrong for anybody to use Matthew 7:1 as a grounds to advocate for permissiveness or to tolerate sin. The first important lesson I want us to take note of this morning is that there are wrong ways and right ways of judging.
Throughout
the Bible, there are wrong ways and right ways of judging.
So
let's spend a moment and take a look at each of them. Number one, when is it wrong to judge someone else? When is it wrong to judge? Number one, when we use Matthew 7:1 as a grounds to advocate for permissiveness, anything is all right, it is their choice, then that is wrong.
So, do not matter to you, Baco. I can say, if you be a new or say, Buatan, any other word seen.
Because you are using Jesus' statement in the wrong way.
Now, yes, I say, my kind of, oh, you find no crime.
You are using Jesus' statement to encourage sin and immorality.
Now, yes, I say, my kind of, what they boy my bon, Akoso.
Number two, it is wrong to judge someone else when we fail to appreciate what I refer to as tough love. Tough love. When we fail to see righteousness in terms of the way and manner a person is reacting to sin or to error.
Na se obi e se bi obi e boni na kwan ya ujina so edi ayi na ten no. So one who a quite password, not just say, oh, yeah, come from soon.
And I'll give you an example, biblical example.
Yeah, Bible.
In Acts chapter 5,
small 14.
You know the story about Ananias and his wife Sapphira.
In Ananias and Sapphira,
they sell their property. Everybody else in the church was bringing their financial contributions for the running and the upkeep of the church needs. Ananias and his wife sell their own property, and then they bring a portion of the money as their donation to the church.
Is that wrong? That is not wrong. But you
remember
that they
died. Now,
okay, so
you know why they died?
That is some weird.
All they did was that they brought only a portion, and nobody instigated that they should bring the whole proceeds from the sale of their property. They voluntarily sold it, and they themselves decided that they will bring portion, and it's all fine until they brought their money and told the apostles that we sold our property and this is all the proceeds and we are bringing it to you. And what? Peter said, why do you lie to the Holy Spirit?
Now the said, "You won't see a tongue."
They lied. And so they died. I believe Peter could have prayed to God for God to hold his hand. But they died.
The
husband died, and not long after that, the wife comes to church and she came late. If she was there, she would have seen what had happened. But she came late. She didn't know what has transpired before she arrived. And when she was asked, oh, is this all the proceeds? She said, yes. Boom. She also died.
My
brothers and sisters, what's the big deal about this kind of lie?
I can throw it here. How about you?
Humanly speaking, you and I will say this is no big deal. That is not so in the sight of God. We all tell half lies and we think it's okay.
Yes, yes, I
if this incident had happened in this congregation, I believe that some members will rise up and attack leadership. You are being too harsh, you are being too judgmental. But you know what? God is very serious when it comes to his children living out his standards or compromising on his standards. What happened there in the church of the church at Jerusalem in Acts chapter 5 is called tough love. God's tough love.
Na eye onyankopon ne do a emu e du e wo hasei.
Where God does not compromise on the things that you and I will ignore as insignificant.
Odowe na onyankopon ne de se ba ne ma menu mienu se ehuya na one de ya na edimu pa
ma. And so when people attack, or assuming some of the church members in the Jerusalem church had attacked Peter for what happened to Ananias and his wife, then it means that they are Christians who fail to appreciate the exercise of tough love.
And think, if you sorry to hear Peter, and in penny for what you are here, and you know, you say, oh, Monty, you come more donor, and we do not ask.
Recently, not long ago, the leadership of a particular church divided, and I was invited to help. One of the leaders was involved in something that is very unethical. Not sexual, but something that was unethical. Business
deal.
And the victim decided that, the victim was not a member of the church, he decided that he was going to take this leader to court. He had all the evidence. He was going to take the leader to court. And the whole leadership heard about it and thought that it was going to be an embarrassment. So
only come out of penny in the morning. Why don't you say there's a penny echo court?
So the leadership met with one of their own who was involved, deliberated over the issue, and they advised him to do two things. One is what I will tell you. One is step down.
Omutu Onyano for say siform the edikan.
In fact, some of the leaders said this particular leader should step down. But there were other leaders who said, oh no, he can't step down. This is no big deal.
Benifoni because I also see from Nevinus Debi. Where the new also see from?
And those who took the side of this particular leader who was involved in this kind of incident were accusing the other leaders for not being judgmental and being irrational. But I can't give you all the details, but when you go deep into the matter, the church has nothing to lose. In fact, the reputation of God's church was going to be spared if this particular leader stepped down. If you step down, so what? It even shows remorse. But he was not prepared to step down. And unfortunately, he had a few of the leadership who were in support. They didn't see anything wrong. They were rather accusing the other group of leaders who meant tough love.
Ain't see the accusation is Gonoma or Fwa as of Penny Chin. As you say, as of many formers or Mutuno, or Monyadia. Nadia Chen is so see for ma, ever must have need Dean assign a pija.
We are settling for a fake church of Christ, brothers and sisters, when we defend or rationalize sin and attack those who uphold righteous judgment. We are settling for a fake church of Christ when the members try to compromise and try to rationalize and try to defend immorality in the church. You see, when Ananias and his wife died as a result of God's tough love he exhibited through Peter, if you continue to read from verse 12 of Acts chapter 5, the church saw growth, tremendous growth.
So
there is what we can refer to as wrong way of judging, wrong way of confronting, wrong way of speaking against your brother or your sister.
And
one is when we try to hide behind the statement "thou shalt not judge," just so that people will have their way and fool about and do whatever they want to, even though it may be wrong.
Yeah, because me muatene, you know, sa kwanu na se boni e kosukwa na
And another wrong way is when we fail to appreciate that sometimes leaders, sometimes even non-leaders, members of the church, may be exercising tough love, and yet others try to undermine them and discourage them or even oppose them.
Edu me bi asaf manankasa echre odo a emu edu nu bi nenso no inmo modie de emu yeyi emfa kwam.
Let us turn our attention and look at when it is right to confront. We have considered when it is wrong, but let's quickly look at when it is right to confront. When is it right to confront or speak against error? Number one, when an action or the motive, the thought behind the action contradicts God's word and God's will. So, for example, we all know, or most of us probably know, Leviticus chapter 10, verse 2, Nadab and Abihu. God tells them, offer me a sacrifice out of a specific wood. There were so many wood, but offer sacrifice using gopher wood. And they thought all would be wood. So they offer God sacrifice not with gopher wood. And fire burned them, they died.
Oh,
but God, why? Why is this a big deal? God means what he says and says what he means. And so, it is right when the action your brother or your sister had done or the motive behind the action is in blatant contradiction to God's word. Then it is right for him or her to be reproved, to be corrected. You know the story in Luke chapter 18, verse 11?
Look at it.
Two people, we are told, Jesus tells the story. Two people goes to the synagogue to worship. One of them was a Pharisee, the other was a publican. And you know the prayer, the way they prayed. So Jesus says that the Pharisee began his prayer and mentioned as if God is ignorant. God does not know. He mentioned all the good things he's been doing. God, you know that I pray this many times, I fast this many times, I give. And God, you know that I'm not like other people. And Jesus says, because Jesus condemned that particular individual. And you know why Jesus condemned him? Jesus did not condemn him because it was wrong for him to pray. It was the right thing. It was the right action to pray. It was the right action to give. It was the right action to give and to fast. But his motive was just for show, for self-praise. And because the motive is wrong, Jesus condemns that person. So, you see, there's nothing wrong when it becomes evident that the action or even the motive behind the action is wrong in light of Scripture. For myself, for yourself, to rebuke one another based upon the word of God. That way, it doesn't contradict, thou shalt not judge. Because what I'm doing or the action or the thought is contrary to Scripture. So when is it right to confront? It is right to confront when what the person does or the motive behind what he does contradicts what Scripture says.
In John,
the Gospel of John, chapter 7, beginning from verse 54, I'm sure you know the story. A group of men arrest a woman who they allege to have caught right in the act of adultery. They bring her to Jesus for Jesus to condemn her.
Enim Yohane tinsu yimodie num enan ne se o machi oba o adwama mu pe di na ba Yesu o se o mu na ten.
And you know the story. Jesus did not condemn the woman outrightly.
Wom wani fo o hono mo.
And it, to the amazement of the group that brought him, brought the lady, they were expecting Jesus to just blast and condemn the lady. But Jesus did not do that outrightly. Jesus said, Jesus read their motives. What they did probably was okay, because they found somebody who is in error. And so they bring her before Jesus. So on the surface, the action may be religious or pious enough. But Jesus, reading their motives, saw that their motives was wrong. Why? They did not consider themselves as sinners. They thought that, you know, the woman was a sinner, which is why Jesus said, if you have not sinned, cast the stone. Stone her, because the law of the Old Testament says such a person should be stoned to death. Jesus says, cut the stone. And they all went away one by one, because they know they are themselves guilty.
And
I pray that myself and all my colleague elders and all of you, Bible class teachers, deacons, all of us, men and women, I pray that we will learn how to judge Jesus' way. Jesus did not just attack and lambast just like that. But you know what? If you are not careful, what we are going to say is that Jesus didn't care about holiness. He cared about holiness. But Jesus looked beyond the physical, the outward.
I hear because of what born is so. Yes, so I try actually, a dream, any akumamu, as an away at
the motive for bringing this woman to Jesus was not so much that this woman will be restored spiritually. This woman will receive healing. This woman will receive restorative justice. That was not the motive. Their motive was so that she will be probably disfellowshipped with or condemned to death.
Enti adi omo an senka oba iba e nanki ya buna chananki ya kumno. Enyo omo adi se oba ni yedini besi ni aye epanso.
Brothers and sisters, judging has no place in our lives nor in this congregation when anything less than restorative healing is the goal. And let me explain what I mean by restorative. When we have to correct somebody, we correct the person not so much with the goal to disgrace the person or to just show where power lies, but we do so through whatever we say and whatever we do it with the view that it will ultimately restore, bring the person back into relationship with God.
And to see a year attend, you also say, yeah, boy, many pano, Tibiano, Mono, yeah, chin F with your enemy, not only when you're going to point seven, as I come.
We must judge as Jesus judged.
It's moving your attention, the years we attend.
In the end, when they couldn't judge the woman, Jesus judged the woman before the woman left. Jesus judged her.
And to a moment, many Amu Banatan, Omoko and Yesu, your Banatan.
He called her sin out. He said, if they didn't judge you, go, but do not commit sin anymore. So Jesus is judging her. Jesus is saying, you are a sinner. Don't stop sinning.
Yes, we not tell you the bonnie for many bonnie bio.
I tell you, if you were the woman, you will not continue to sin again. You love Jesus and you hate the other people, because Jesus will rebuke you in love. Jesus will rebuke you in restoration to your spiritual position with God.
In Zaya Bana, Kabepe Yesu as if you say, the Yesu Yenese or Do, Nafi or Duaba Unyanko Point Champion.
Let us judge ourselves more than we judge anyone else. It is something the group of men who arrested the woman did not do. But if we are going to exercise righteous judgment, let us judge ourselves first. Before I end my lesson, let me share with you some biblical steps that we should take before we confront someone else. The reason why we read chapter 1 through 12 is because what Jesus is talking about is the whole context. And so, there are sometimes there's a tendency for us to take certain passages and interpret it out of context. But let me show you something. The first step Jesus wants us to take before we confront anybody else is go to God in prayer. That is what Jesus meant when he says, ask and it shall be given. Knock and it shall be opened. Seek and it shall find. In the context of one another relationship and judging one another, Jesus says, ask. You know why? It is not a small thing. When you see something wrong, your wife is wrong, your husband is going wrong, your child is going wrong, or in the church, leaders are going wrong, or brother or sister is going wrong, it's not easy to approach them. And therefore, before you do, but the onus is on us to do something about it. We can't compromise. We can't turn, you know, a blind eye. But before we do, Jesus says, ask. We need to pray to God for wisdom. We need to pray to God for humility, the right attitude, which is humility. We need to pray to God for courage before we approach a sister or a brother who is in sin.
Na de yes e ka o yimu ba ko kosi dumie ni se ansa na ye be ko obi anim na ko yi na tan ana ya bo ama na si ye no ne ehia na yesu kapa ni se yeni kan e mom pa ye yeni kan ko radie na o ma ye nyansa ene adwen di betu sa na mo no.
You know why we really need to pray to ask God for wisdom and courage and humility? The reason is given to us in verse 6 of Matthew chapter 7.
Imu ye nsia no wo kire ase de nti wo se bom pa ni e ko nya ko pa ni.
In verse 6 Jesus uses an idiom that says, do not cast your pearls before swine. He's not talking about pigs. It's an idiomatic expression. What he means is that there are some people who would not appreciate godly counsel. There are some people who would not appreciate godly advice and wisdom. And even if you give it to them, whether you give it to them as elders or whatever, they are going to disparage. They are going to treat it with contempt. They are going to trample over it. They are like pigs who don't see value in giving them spiritual counseling. And that is the more reason why you should ask. You should pray to God for wisdom, for humility, and for courage to know how to approach certain people. You don't just go.
So number one,
before you confront, pray to God for wisdom. You yourself are limited. You are deficient in wisdom. Pray to God for God to even show you what to say and direct your talk and your speech.
Because some
people like pigs will trample. They will attack you. When you read King James, it says verse 6, the pig will turn around and attack you. The second main principle, what we need to do before we confront others to correct them, is found in verse 12. You all know it. Do unto others as you wish them to do to you. In the context of settling, you know, problems between one another, before you even approach them, decide to offer words of healing and words of restoration. Don't just go because you think you are a preacher, or you think you are an elder, or you think you know too much, or think you are the one who is able to talk. So you just go and talk and talk and talk. Decide that in the end, when you meet that person, what you say will be words of healing, words that reproof, and yet it's healing and it's restorative.
And some of them can't be true. Now, okay, and some of them can't be true. Now, physicians, they begin attaining a man ABC.
Because that is what, if you were in that situation, that is what you would love.
And how was that to be done?
What have we learned this morning?
I didn't hear you. Number 1.
We've learned that there is judgment that pleases God and there is judgment that displeases God. And we've learned specific steps about judgment that displeases God or wrong way of judging. And we have also learned about judgment that pleases God which is the right way of judging. We are all, whether you are Christians or not, we are all judgmental. We are all judgmental. Because we believe in such a thing as right and wrong. In medicine or in engineering, everybody, whether they are Christians or not, everybody insists that the right thing is done. The right prescriptions are done. The right thing is done. Can you imagine if you are in an airplane and the pilot just, piloted, press the knob just anyhow. You see, if you survive, you see the... Can you imagine if you went to see a doctor and the doctor just, gave you a prescription just anyhow? We all demand that the right thing should be done in all aspects of life, except when it comes to religious issues and ethical issues.
You know, person can name a pilot customer. What caught an airplane? That's a pilot. No, or the Okobe Bia, Ubewa, Umpe. Then I call Doctor Honas or more drug, Bekumua, Umpe. You know, person, Nipa Bayakum.
We should demand that the right thing is done. And it means that we should judge righteous judgment.
Or say a presser and Yema, a yeno, yea, into Yabuatia, Yemuatin, Papa.
Jesus did not condemn the woman in John chapter 7.
Johannes Tinson, yes, we are more bound for.
And it is because he did not come to make her pay for her sins. Rather, he came to pay for her sins and carry her sins with him to the cross. Once upon a time, a minor was arranged before a court of justice. The judge examined the case and it was clear that the boy deserved the punishment according to the law. But the judge took interest in the boy, the minor, and asked him, "Don't you have any relative or anybody representing you?" And the boy said, "No, I don't." The judge went ahead and gave a hefty fine, which was required by law. He fined the boy, but the boy did not have anybody to pay for him. He couldn't pay, he did not have anybody to pay for him. Which means that the boy was going to be thrown into prison.
But
right there, something amazing took place.
BBC.
The judge got up from his throne. He removed his wig, symbol of wisdom and authority, and placed it on his throne.
Stepped
forward to the court clerk and paid with a check, his own check, paid the fine for the culprit. What is the essence of this story? As a judge, justice demands that he cannot compromise. He must use the law accordingly. But when the man found out that the boy was helpless and didn't have any relationship, the man had mercy. And so, although justice has to be exercised, the man exercised justice and then turns around and shows mercy by paying for the undeserving culprit. That is what Christ our Lord is expecting from each of us. That we will not compromise on sin. But that we will show mercy. May God bless us and give us understanding. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Hello. When you come near, me, I am made up.